Welcome to Booktopia. I'm John Purcell, and I'm delighted to be here with Jimmy Barnes to talk about his new autobiography, very revealing autobiography, Working Class Boy. Jimmy, welcome.
How are you?
This is must have been a tough book to write. It's something that seems to be really important for you to write.
I didn't have a choice. I had to write it. It was a lot of the stuff that was in the book was coming to me as I was writing. It was a lot of stuff that completely sort of wiped out of my memory as a child. And I sort of just started writing. It was triggered by. It's a very strange thing. I was on tour. Playing music, and I've been in a bunch of hotels, and every hotel has the same movies, and I've watched every movie that I wanted to watch, and there was only one movie left on the thing, on the channels, and this was over the period of a couple of weeks on tour, and the last movie was a thing called Snowtown, mm-hmm. which was a sort of a horror story about these mass murderers in Adelaide, bodies in a barrel. Anyway, so I didn't want to watch it, and I'd sort of put it off. And the last couple of nights on tour or something, I had nothing left to watch, and I couldn't sleep after a show. So I decided to watch it, and it's the first 20 minutes of the movie, that's all I watched, and then turned it off. It just suddenly, the movie, the look of the movie, with the house in the movie looked like my house, it looked like my street. And so I'm sitting there, and I turned it off, and suddenly just all this childhood stuff started coming back. That's when I started writing. And as I wrote, just more and more came back to me. So it was... some of it was a bit traumatic to write, but it was also to relive. But some of it was was really great to sort of get it out. I see a lot of this stuff as being sort of like wounds that I've had since I was a child, and writing the book sort of brought them out into the open, put some air on them, so they'll start to heal.
I hope there's none of those pushy parents that read the book going, "So this is how you create a rock star."
Well, you look at it, from my earliest ages, I remember pretty young. I just remember jumping around, going, look at me, please, somebody, look at me, you know. And I was a high achiever. I sort of went, at school, I was captain of the football team. I was bloody, ducks of the class, ducks of the school, and eventually a leader of the gang. Yeah. I could fight as good as anybody. And so it was all the sort of stuff that I lived as a child really did was the ideal sort of, it was like a breeding ground for a rock singer, and of course, I once I sort of got the attention, I just sort of kept wanting more of it and kept craving it. So
a lot of people who come in here who have started to write their memoirs, as you said, it sort of came back. Are things that come back that you really didn't wish to come back in the writing process?
Well, there was a lot of it. There was stuff there that I hadn't spoke to anybody about ever, and since they happened, or since I even stuff that happened to myself and my siblings that we never ever spoke about, and so that stuff I knew it was there, and I was just and it was a battle with myself to get it out, and part of the process of writing the book was I knew that had to come out. But in the process of doing it, a lot of stuff and a lot of things that happened there that really I think I just blocked out completely, and I'm going, oh geez, I remember that now, So I'd write one thing and then suddenly that I'd go, oh god, I remember this now. So I'd have to sort of finish telling that story.
I've been an advocate for years. I mean, when I used to have a secondhand bookshop, and I would talk to people who had, were quite happy to talk about their lives, but had never really shared it with their own families or written it down. This, to me, is one of the greatest gifts you can give your own family. I mean, even though it's not the easiest of reads.
Well, it's for me, like it was cathartic for me, and it was a healing process for me, and I think that immediately affects my children, my grandchildren. So that, but what I've noticed, the book hasn't come out yet, and I sent it to my siblings, and like I said, there's stuff in there that we haven't spoken about, and by Sunday, I gave it to them on a Thursday, and by Sunday I had calls from all of them saying, oh, this is really great, I'm glad somebody spoke about it. So I think it is actually going to be very, really healing for my immediate, my siblings as well as for me, and God knows we needed to heal. There was a lot of stuff that was pretty, I used to look at it and think, Jane, my wife had asked me, so how was your life? can I say it? Normal, you know. Really, but and then I started writing, and I thought that's really abnormal. but I've been telling people, I think I've gone full circle, and unfortunately, I do think that my life was more normal than I'd like to think. You know, there's a lot of people who go through the same stuff as what I do. A lot of people who don't talk about it, and a lot of people who. Who are ashamed of where they came from and stuff. And I hopefully this book will help sort of let some of those people, you know, get it off their chest.
Well, I think all those people who sang along with your songs, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of that. I mean, a lot of people recognize themselves or moments in their lives in
yeah.
the songs.
Yeah.
So I can imagine them getting the full blast of it. It's for a lot of people, they'll find a lot of their own childhood, the memories of their own. I mean, I was reading and I was thinking about, I had a different childhood.
Yeah.
But because you're sort of reading it in this chronological order,
yeah.
and this happens after... And, my own teen life came back to me.
Yeah.
So I can imagine other readers just washing over.
I think there's going to be I think particularly with men and in this country anyway. I think men don't really talk about stuff. And, you know, if it's problems in the past, they try to get it out of the way as quick as possible and never go back over again. I think the stuff in there that you know, there's certainly I know that I needed to sort of discuss, you know, and bring up to my family, and. So I think there's going to be a lot of people out there, particularly blokes, who will be able to see themselves in different various parts of the book. Maybe not all of the book, because some of it is pretty horrific, but certainly in different parts of it. And I think, you know, I think those people who come out and watch me, I've been singing live, you know, for 45 years. You know, I've been touring since 43 years. I've been touring since 1973. And a lot of those people who came and who were, you know, in the audience sweating and put their arms in the air and singing along with songs like Flame Trees and stuff like that, I think they're going to be, they're subconsciously connected with me already. And I think there's people out there who are going to, you know, directly connect with stuff in this book because it's you know it's really the one thing about life is you know I mean it's we all have our stories and but it's a common story we're all just trying to survive and yeah. we're all you know getting through it the best we can. My parents you know made a lot of mistakes but they were just trying to get through it the best they could with the tools they had and that's what we all do and I think anybody you know that can relate to my life will sort of you know but it won't be the same story but they'll have their own twist.
There are benefits also for younger readers. I mean, there's two. There's a serious side of this and a quirky side. But one of them is there's a tip for a young man in the middle of the book where some of the blokes are out there fighting at the pub and beating each other up trying to attract women. You just go and talk to the women, which is a handy hint for any young man too.
Well, where I grew up, all the blokes were all beating their chest and really, you know, I was just shifty. I don't know, but I'd see them all. They'd all be there fighting, and I'd just go, I'm going in here and have a drink with these chicks, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I just always got on well with women. So it was sort of. It was a bit of a curse at the same time. It got me in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But it was true. I couldn't see the point of going out and beating people to a pulp. You know. And where I came from in Elizabeth, if you weren't a member of the gang, you were a victim.
Yeah.
So I worked out. You know, I was in amongst the gang. I worked out that if you see someone who's a big mouth and, you know, it's that barking dog thing, you know, the barking dog doesn't bite, you know, and somebody who'd be yelling and you know, posturing and chest beating, you know, I'd hit him.
Yeah.
And then I'd go away and never would leave me alone and I'd just go and talk to girls.
There's also the other side, the more serious side of this is it's great for young people to see what life was like and to see a different side of, I mean, we're very, very lucky right now in Australia to... The level of life that we're all enjoying, and the freedoms and the laws and all these things are protecting us and the like. But they get built over time with the hard work of political agitators and all these change things. And it's really, I think it's be good for young people to read this and say, yeah, you allow these idiots in Parliament take away our rights,
yes,
and we'll go back to circumstances where no one cares about anyone.
But the same thing, you know, like people, there's people, you know, we talk about issues that are current now in the book, you know, like I mean, I can't believe that the level of domestic violence in this country has, has you know, is so high. And when I'm writing the book and I look back in the 60s, you know, my mum was getting belted around and hiding, and we were, you know, hiding around the beds and all sort of stuff. And, you know, here we are sort of 50 years later, and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Really, there's a you know, one woman a week dying from domestic, you know, from domestic, directly to domestic violence in this country, and it's just really horrific, or children. But, you know, so as much as we've allowed, we don't want politicians to change what we fought for, we've got to stand up now and say, you've got more work to do, boys.
You're doing a singing, speaking tour coming up in November, and that is raising money for Rosie Batty's Foundation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I met Rosie when I was down. I sang at the Australian of the Year Awards for a couple of years, and I met her down in Canberra at that. And I just, you know, I'm obviously, like anybody who's seen, you know, who wasn't, anybody who's living in this country seen the what her story was, and it was horrific. And but the way she's made, you know, a horrific event, you know, motivator and sort of prodding other people to do something about this is incredible. So I tip my hat to her, and I really anything I can do to support that is, you know, it's the, you know, people, there's too many people, and it's children, it's women, it's, you know, the domestic violence affects, you know, and it's not just about physical violence, it's emotional violence, you know, there's all sorts of abuse that people can face in this country. So I think she's doing incredible work, and, you know, really happy to, but it's a long, she's got a long road ahead of her. She's been like the best campaigner for, you know, to bring this into her head, and it seems to be getting worse. We're not doing enough about it, and she's working her guts out for it. Yeah.
Well, books like this will again raise the issue.
But domestic violence issues, like, but the stuff I address in this book, it comes back to you know, about, you know, education, about you know, I mean, I just can't believe we sit and watch, you know, I can't watch sport on the TV now without being just inundated with ads for easy to make things betting easy.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, one of the reasons we were starving, and one of the reasons there was so much pressure on my parents, is because my dad would gamble the money away. And that gambling seems to be just like, they're making it easier. You don't even have to get out of your seat now. And you can sneak into the bathroom and gamble away your family's money, which just puts pressure on the family unit. So there's advertising for alcohol and stuff like that. There's got to be a better way of dealing with this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is a very powerful story, and it really is the origin story of Jimmy Barnes.
It is
right to the point where you jump on the back.
I'll do a prequel next. When I was a young sort of embryo.
So you take the story right up to where you jump on the the back of the truck and go off to Cold Chisel. Are we going to get that second volume down the track?
I've already started writing it, and hopefully I'll do it in the next 6 months. I've been talking to you off camera about this. I don't want to, you know, it's really easy for me to say, I've got a million really funny, great rock and roll stories, you know, but I think there's so many rock and roll books around. I don't want to write a book that's just stories, because it's too easy. I've got better stories than most of them. You know, I was pretty wild. But what I want to do is look at the trauma and the impact of that trauma on my life then, and how that affected me growing up as a young man. The point where we finish this book and I take off in the truck with Cold Chisel is sort of the start of a journey, you know, that really all the damage was done, and then from there on, the result of that damage, I impacted on a lot of people, you know, and really I sort of make light about it, but I think from, you know, the time I joined Cold Chisel until just a few years ago was probably one of the longest, slowest suicide attempts in Australian history. You know, I really tried everything to sort of wipe myself to the ground, and I've just luckily, I think, got to thank my parents for a great constitution. So I don't want to just write a story that's all glossy and nice. I want to look at the impact of all this stuff had on me, and how I dealt with it, and also how I didn't deal with it.
Well, I can tell you, none of your fans would want something glossy and nice. I mean, they're a Cold Chisel fan, for Christ's sake.
Well, you know, the thing is, everybody thinks, you know, I used to get out there, and the worse I behaved, the more I drank, the more people liked me. And I got to the point, really, I remember, this is one of the issues I'll be looking at in the next book, where I just thought, well, if I don't misbehave, if I don't act like an animal, people aren't going to like me. And so that, and it's almost, you know, it's almost true. I'd go up and do things that everybody else wanted to rebel. I'd go and rebel and satisfy everybody. They'd all be happy. All right, we're good now. We'll go home. But in the meantime, I'd be at home sitting and looking at myself in the mirror going, what the hell are you doing, mate? You know, so it's pretty complicated. I've no regrets. But, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes, done a lot of great things, a lot of bad things in this life. At this point in my life, the way I say at the end of that, the first book there, you know, I don't regret a thing because everything I've done has brought me to where I am, you know. And if you get here and you can look at yourself and you're happy, and you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm working on it, you know, I'm working hard, and I can't regret anything, you know.
Thank you very much for speaking.
No worries.
I do believe you got the book of the year for this Christmas, and everyone should be getting a copy.
Thanks very much. I hope it helps people.
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, and I wanted it to be entertaining. Wanted to be, you know, my way of dealing with trauma has been making light of it a lot. So there's a bit of humor in the book too.
Yeah, no. I can tell the audience it's not all doom and gloom. it's a great read.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Jimmy's book, Working Class Boy, is available at booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.